This is Zone 1 Radio.
Zone 1 Radio.
Hi, I'm Stuart. What the fuck just happened?
The best things in life are free. But you can give them to the birds and bees. I want money.
What does this mean?
It's your script, Stuart.
Why are you telling me this?
Because I'm your producer, Rickley.
What's the point?
Bit of a sideways look at the media, I guess.
These are some questions that we ask every day when we read a newspaper.
More gore and sex for Thrones 4, says Brit Kit.
Watch TV.
The Loose Women talk about X Factor and the siege in Nairobi.
Or watch a movie.
We have the exclusive new trailer for Miley Cyrus's new Twerk 'Em Up.
This is what the fuck just happened. A twisted look at modern Britain.
The mirror's image, it tells me it's home time, but I'm not finished, cause you're not by my side. And as I arrived, I thought I saw you leaving, carrying your shoes, decided that once again I was just dreaming of bumping into you. Now it's 3 in the morning, and I'm trying to change your mind. Left you multiple missed calls, and to my message you replied. Why'd you only call me when you're high? High. Why'd you only call me when you're high? Somewhere darker, talking the same shite. I need a partner. Well, are you out tonight? It's harder and harder to get you to listen. More I get through the gears, incapable of making all right decisions and having bad ideas. Now it's 3 in the morning and I'm trying to change your mind. Left you multiple missed calls, and to my message you replied.
So this week we watched Loose Women.
Yeah, can I just say that after a little while the ITV player ident becomes a little bit disturbing. It's ITV, come on in. It seriously is just one step away from ITV, you are all my children now.
So what's the premise with Loose Women then?
Basically take a bunch of personality-free women, bland enough to appeal across as wide a demographic as possible, stick them in a room and make them present the news. Because that's basically what it is, the news but with a pink highlighter over stuff that women are meant to care about. Serious debate show.
So what is their version of news editorial?
Well, they had a feature on The X Factor.
Yeah, saw that one.
And then they had a feature on the Nairobi siege in Kenya.
This is what's commonly known as the one-show problem, isn't it?
Yeah, one of these things is not like the other.
And we need to somehow link them.
Yeah. It would be like if I threatened to kill you, then offered you an ice cream. Like, which is more important? I mean, given that they led with X Factor, I clearly think they think that is. X Factor, then Nairobi's. I just cannot take Andrea McLean seriously when she goes from, catfight on The X Factor, is it right to leave your bandmates behind if you would get put through otherwise? In other news, Nairobi siege. Bit of a tense situation. What would you do in that situation? Would you be frightened by the men with guns? Would you piss yourself? Would you grab dead bodies and use them as human shields? Text in to vote now.
They love a text.
Yeah, they clearly think that texting is still a thing that people do.
But they do like dedicate time to the fluffier subjects as well. It's all even, isn't it? It's not like we'll have a quick 4 minutes on X Factor and then we
yeah,
really
it's
need...
Yeah, it's this rigid layout of just 9 minutes talk, advert. 9 minutes talk, advert. Like seriously, they discuss the X Factor seriously. Whose side are you on? Team Hannah or Team C? Who cares? And if you're a debate show, you have to set a precedent. So do they approach every debate in a similar way? Attack on Pakistani border? Well, I'm definitely Team Taliban. They're just so misunderstood. Oh, Team UN peacekeepers all the way.
Yeah, text in now. On the opening slot, the one I saw Tuesday was about Michael Douglas and Catherine Zeta-Jones. Is it time to break up if you're in a break? To which Jim McDonald responded, it depends on the individual. Which is it, isn't it? Exactly. Fair enough. It's not our relationship. How do we know? If you want to, yes. If you don't,
fine,
probably
yes,
not.
Yes, no answer, bam, done.
However, they managed to get a good more 9 minutes up to the break. One of them said, weigh up the pros and cons. Yes, that goes for every situation you're trying to resolve. Another one said, I hope Michael and Catherine do make it work. Why? You don't know these people.
They might. You know, did you click on those Twitter names? actually friends with Michael Douglas and Catherine Zeta-Jones?
I thought, to be honest though, on that kind of stuff, on X Factor, on the relationships, the
on
women...
the Nairobi siege in Kenya.
Not so much that one. The four women on the panel, I mean, in our opinion, it's not news, but they've all had relationships. They're all of a certain age where they've had a few relationships, so they know what they're talking about. It's a bit nattery, but they're kind of good enough to keep it moving on, although in a completely nonsensical and widespread scattergun way. I thought they did a decent job, and I will be called sexist for this, but women are good talking about relationships and gossiping a bit about it. So
well, better than us would be.
Definitely, definitely. So I thought they did quite a good job on that.
Well, as much as the format for itself, it's doing good work. It knows its audience. It knows what they want to hear things about. But at the same time, my issue with the format is there is nothing specific about this show whatsoever. It's just this rigid format of open chat for 9 minutes, ads. Open chat for 9 minutes, ads. Guest one, open chat for 9 minutes. How are you? What have you been doing this week? Mowed the lawn? Oh, that's nice. What are you getting up to at the weekend? There's nothing specific about it. Change it from women to men. Nothing changes except the tone. You could make the show about literally anyone. World events from the perspective of zookeepers. How about that one?
I'd watch.
Yeah, lunchtime viewing. You could do anything.
And that would be
slot.
Four other zookeepers, I guess.
Yes,
quite
four
a niche
other zookeepers.
Audience,
loose still. Zookeepers, come on, ITV, do it.
I don't think any of the panel on Loose Women have been zookeepers. what did you make of them?
Well, they were just all so bland and forgettable that I could barely tell any of them apart, except for Janet Street Porter. She does amazingly well on this show, and when I'm praising Janet Street Porter, that is saying a lot about how personality-free this show is.
Yeah, on that as well, the lead presenter, I can't remember her name, to be honest, I don't even think I even looked it up.
It's Andrea McLean, I'm not
sure. Yeah, she seems to be the journalist of the group and the serious one, but sadly, because she's put... That, for me, makes her the only one whose opinion is of any interest... But the role they've put her in means that she can't put her opinion in, and actually she just marshals the other three's kind
well,
of
yeah,
bland,
she's the newsreader, isn't she?
Nonsensical...
Wittering.
Opinions. Denise Welsh, I thought I would hate. I really did think... In fact, I kind of thought I did hate that woman. But then you put her next to Sherry Hewson, and you realise, comparatively, Denise Welsh is kind of a liberal, hippie demigod.
If Channel 4 really wanted to market the show to anyone beyond its target audience already, what they need to do is get plastic mannequins of Adolf Hitler and his cronies around the Loose Women to make them look good by comparison.
Yeah. I have to give a special kudos on this, though, because at midday on the Tuesday on ITV, she managed to get a really good condoms rammed down our throat gag in, which I thought that deserves special effort.
Did she even think it was a gag?
I don't think so. But maybe she does.
Those are the funniest sort of people to be friends with, the sort of people that say really stupid things and don't realise that it's stupid.
But then you get to Sherry Houston, she'll just throw out random kind of pieces like, it's education, and then to rapture a studio applause. Oh yes, it's all about education, you're
yeah,
right.
Yeah, she's one of those talking heads that just uses buzzwords to get people on her side.
And, you know, it's a guaranteed one. Any debate about young people and whether they're good or bad or getting worse or better.
Education!
It's all about education. Rapturous applause. To which kind of leads us on to the applause thing. I really noticed this. Obviously, it's filmed in front of like a really large, hugely excitable TV audience. Too excitable for me in the afternoon. It's like Saturday Night X Factor, but it's four women sat on a stage having a chat.
It gets lost on you after a while. It's like it doesn't really matter what they're saying.
I found it really grating. They're all just kind of competing for applause. It's basically, let's get to the bottom of subjects, important subjects like the Nairobi siege or something, based on who's got the best opinion, judged by a clapometer.
All of their opinions are basically just what the average person watching this would think, reiterated over about 9 bloody minutes.
Why is it even called Loose Women?
Like, no one's particularly loose. No one's snorting coke. None of them are prostitutes, as far as I'm aware. What makes them loose women?
They have an interesting way of theming their show, to which I looked at, which the more I looked at it, the more it drew me in. Honestly, I know you've seen my notes on this, but did you notice this when it was on?
Yes. It's hypnotising, isn't it? Yeah. You just look.
If you haven't seen Loose Women, it's four women around a desk, but in a big flash TV studio. And the back wall is all gloriously lit in kind of very bright pastel colours, with kind of motifs and cutouts all across them. And I started looking at what they were. There's handbags, flowers, shoes. Make what you will of them. Call me sexist. Don't talk to me. It's ITV's decision that that's what represents the women in the 21st century. Mobile phones, some nice fluffy clouds, and pound signs. Pound signs. I think.
I couldn't believe that.
I think a producer at one point went, "Do you know what? We are actually going to talk about the economy once every 8 weeks." Or,
Are you sure that's what they're thinking?
We might talk about the Nairobi siege, but we can't really have machine guns. What could we have that's slightly serious? So there you go, women. If you wish to feel represented by as a woman, and you define yourself by handbags, flowers, shoes, mobile phones, clouds, and pound signs, Loose Women may well be for you. I don't think it was for us, though, was it?
No. Overall, I would approve of the fact that they're encouraging their viewers to be aware of world events, but there's very little idea here. If your show could literally be about anyone or anything, you've got a huge problem with your format. If this was made 20 years ago or 20 years in the future, nothing would change. No one is going to remember that Loose Women existed. I would love to know what the hell is wrong with ITV's planning department, because if Loose Women, and in fact most of their output, says anything about the way they put television together, they must have a blank format template ready to drop words into when they need a show to fill a balance sheet. Just a general chat show where you can insert a demographic, a topic, an auto show creator. In fact, here's an adaptation of what I think ITV's lunchtime show template looks like.
Hello, all of you. I'm a man, woman, or ethnic minority, or a celebrity you might have heard of that hasn't had any consistent work in at least 3 years and will work cheap. I'm your host for the next 45 to 90 minutes of your life, and I'm here with another man, woman, or ethnic minority who's my cheap guest to talk about a thing they did that's sort of popular at the moment.
Hello, host. I'm here to promote this thing you should buy that I've done. or a place that I've curated.
I love the places that you curate as well. So, guest, your thing that you've done is getting people talking. How did it all come about?
Well, making a thing to get people talking about, be it a book, a TV show, a movie, or a place, you really need to follow some random inspirational fridge magnet quotes that I'm going to read off a cue card now. Perseverance is the key to success. Success is 100% inspiration and 100% perspiration, which actually makes 200%.
Lovely, marvellous, super, great. Other words that mean the same thing. Now, right now, we've got another guest who's going to spout general rhetoric and say something risque. Ooh, naughty.
Hello, man, woman, horse, person. Generic greeting punctuated by a mention of a bodily part. Nipples. Ooh, pardon me.
You are hilarious. Now, second guest, you've been making headlines recently by having an affair with a man, woman, animal, or an item of stationery.
Very rude. Well, I don't know about that, but he, she, it definitely thought so. Random risque joke about sex that doesn't make sense when you actually stop and think about it. Same with his penis. Oh, I'm such a character.
Lovely. Anyway, now for the first ad break. But to transition out, some awful title animations we made on After Effects with some theme music made by a Casio keyboard presets. Bye.
And it's the bit of the show that Ofcom likes to call the bullshit headlines of the week.
Are you sure Ofcom likes to call it that?
They don't know we exist, so we're okay.
Okay, that's good.
And I was thinking, actually, on this, just quickly, we could call it bullshit. But maybe this is a conversation to have off-air. Bullshit headlines of the week. It's a pun on broadsheet. There
that
you go.
That pun hurts my head.
Okay, so I believe you got a message for all newspapers to kick us off.
Dear all newspapers, I will buy that shitty aftershave if you just get Justin Bieber to put his tits away.
The die is cast. This is kicking off with Monday 23rd from The Standard. The die is cast. Casino rebrands craps as players say their name is too rude.
Now, I like to think I'm unbiased, but I think some of the stuff associated with gambling is a bit ruder than the word crap.
Not the biggest problem with gambling, that
not
one,
really,
is it?
No.
No.
Storm grows to rattle Angela Merkel. Storm grows to rattle Angela Merkel's window. Either Angela Merkel is in a spot of bother politically, or it's a weather warning if you're going to visit Germany. I couldn't be bothered to read it.
Labour asks rail firms to strike new deal and cap fare rises. Now, even if you're not in government, you don't ask them, do you? You just tell them.
Yeah, you tell them not to cap. You tell them to cap rail fare rises.
Rail fares is a personal bugbear of yours at the moment, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, it totally is. I have to pay near enough 15 quid a day to commute in, goddammit.
Monday 23rd, the Metro. Rihanna's primate posing may get owners jailed.
Referring to Rihanna's fashion shoot with some marmosets. I've got to say, it's about time someone locked up her producers. But what will happen to Rihanna? Will she get put in the pound? Chris Brown joke unintended.
Metro, Tuesday 23rd. Live sex on TV, but it's not porn. Which is a bit of a bummer, isn't it? I'll just have to stick to the laptop.
Ew.
I like this one. Let me take this one.
Yeah, you can have that one.
There's now as queer as York, which I thought was a great headline. That's news that someone has bought a box of eggs that were all double yolkers, or at least someone has said that they bought a box of eggs that were all double yorkers.
And told a newspaper.
Slow news day. Slow news day, that one.
Totally, especially if the next one says anything to go by. More gore and sex for Thrones 4, says Brit Kits.
Which is news.
Game of Thrones will continue, says a British person.
I love that. More gore, sex, Thrones 4,
that headline
Brit
should,
Kit.
That headline could just as easily have been, have you read Game of Thrones' fourth book?
Well, yeah, or seen any episodes
of Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
It's time to call the frock tour. Woman wears dresses to red carpet Emmy ceremony.
Big news. Always makes the news, that one, doesn't it? Women wearing dresses to glitzy awards ceremony.
You open a bloody newspaper to any random page, it will be a woman wearing a dress to an award ceremony.
It is. Tesco fined £45,000 for fat mouse. Which is news that a branch of Tesco's has been fined because a mouse was found gnawing chicken. Presumably from the headline, the main problem was that the mouse was a little overweight.
Well, we do know that this country has an obesity problem.
Yeah.
Metro, Wednesday 25th. Runner used fake penis to deceive doping testers. More a funny story than a funny headline.
Good one, that. Just had to go in. Charles, my boys are hot stuff on the dance floor. Which is our incumbent king and ruler, seems focused on the important issues, which is good. On this as well, I think it's important to mention that I came to that headline first. Charles, my boys are hot stuff on the dance floor. That's the Metro, which we know is a bit low grade. The Sun, which we're coming to later, gets a lot of shit, really. But actually, theirs was dancing on airs. Which is better. It shows
they've
you.
They thought about that pun.
It shows you why you're getting paid more and they've got a bigger department because they can come up with things like that.
At the same time, though, in both the Metro and the Sun, this took up an entire bloody page.
Big news, man.
Massive
Very
news.
Important.
Yes, so, I think my boys are really good dancers.
Leading on to the Sun, Wednesday, September 25th, Fireman Scram. Which is sadly not a news story about firemen striking, but rather control room staff striking. But that'd have been a shit headline, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Spurn Britain. Fern Britain not invited to this morning 25th anniversary.
Yeah, I like this because that's a good headline on its own. And I'd actually wrote that into the notes. And then I kind of looked back at the page and realised in the same article they had three others. It wasn't just Fern Britain that's not been invited. They had Fern Forbidden. So obviously they put both in because they couldn't decide which was best. They had Gone Leslie. That's a good one. That's John Leslie not being invited. And this is kind of a bit more of a stretch. Fled Talbot. I thought they were good.
Who's that referring to?
Fred Talbot. The guy who used to jump about on the weather map.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Not quite as good. If Elvis did lasagna, he'd do it like this. Which was just a recipe for lasagna. It had absolutely nothing to do with Elvis at all. I read the entire article.
You read the headlines and then you just... That's enough, next page. But you actually do nothing. City AM, which is basically the finance pages of the Metro published in a different place. Wednesday 25th, Labour declares war on business. Now, if you've no idea what they're talking about and just read that headline... It could easily just read, abstract noun declares war on another abstract noun. For more on this story, here's a preposition.
From the Standard, 25th, more troubled waters over the new school pool. What was this one?
Basically, some school in Chelsea's pool had a leak or something. I actually measured this article because I couldn't believe how massive it was. 16 centimetres by 10. I was shocked.
Making its first appearance on Bullsheet. Headlines this week is the Daily Mirror from Friday the 27th. Some brilliant ones, I thought. Lord Grope, not to face charges. So should we really be calling him Lord Grope at this point?
Yeah, that's kind of deciding for the courts, isn't it, newspaper?
And putting a massive picture of him under the headline Lord Grope. And they did put like an apostrophe either side of Lord Grope. Like.
Oh yeah, so we're not accusing anyone of anything. Yeah. You know, because look, there's apostrophes there.
It's basically
punctuation, damn it.
Another great one from the Mirror. Giant rabbits bred by Nazis. I tell you what, the more you hear about Nazis, the worse they seem, don't they?
I know, they were dicks, weren't they? Top class, but short of brass. Brass band skint. Seriously, how did any of them make money?
They must all be skint. Look Rue's black to her best on glam night out. Famous Rue wears black.
That was a story.
That was a story.
Lather Lout. One of the famous Cyruses does sexy photo shoot with soap suds. Let's hope it's not Billy Ray.
This is from The Star today, 27th. Victoria's got a bear behind. Bear, B-E-A-R. Initially, I thought that was a spelling mistake, but it turns out it's just a news story about Victoria. One of the Victorias. I'm not even putting them in now. One of the famous Victorias.
Yeah, if the tabloids can't be asked to use full names, we can't either.
Yeah, and as we said last week, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, she's in a photo with a bear.
That's it. Booze turns Ladette into attic monster. Strange one, this. A woman in Burnley serious drink problem, been given an Asbo. The story focuses on her kind of before and after pictures, seemingly suggesting that the worst thing to come out of this for her, and like the biggest problem she has, was losing her, and I quote, girl next door looks, which very obviously is the least of her troubles and nothing to do with what actually happened.
Strictly conned dancing, which is not a reference to the fact that the opening night was 75 minutes of no dancing. What was it actually about? Don't know, I don't care, I didn't read it.
Summer has gone down the drain. We're set for a washout. It's going to rain this weekend. And by the way, it's October in a week. Yes, summer is over.
Summer is over. It's been over for quite a while. Bitch Battle. New TV programme with models apparently warrants this level of treatment.
To be fair, it probably does. But still, it's weird when you see Bitch Battle printed in block capitals in a newspaper.
Yeah.
Okay, that's it for the bullshit headlines this week. Oops, I said that wrong. We'll be back with more next week, so you really don't have to bother picking up all them newspapers on the tube anymore.
We'll do it for you. It's our jobs.
Okay, so after last week, forcing Stuart to read One Direction, a book clearly not aimed at him or us, this week chose two publications which I think we squarely are aimed at us, mid to late 20-year-old heterosexual men living in the UK. We're looking at and have read this week Nuts and Men's Health. We're going to kick off with Nuts. We all know what Nuts is, but has anyone ever actually tried to read it rather than just stare at it?
I doubt it, and if so, I pity them, because the way it's laid out makes it totally clear you're meant to just stare at it. Even more so than the tabloids, because the text is 8-point font size hidden away in the corner. I had to use a magnifying glass. I would like to, if I was editor of Nuts magazine, I would change all of the text, I'd keep everything as is, all the pictures the same, all the layout the same, all of the text would be changed to listing the benefits of suicide, and then just see how many people write in and complain or actually notice it.
Or follow through on it.
Yeah.
But you keep the pictures.
Yes, I keep the pictures just to see how many people notice.
Editorially, what did you find?
Well, nothing in the way of an opinion. This magazine's general opinion is just the word "way" repeated endlessly for about 40 pages.
It kicks off with the Nuts News section, which is a 4-page article with 9 pictures of someone for Big Brother in their underwear.
Yeah, very first feature in the Nuts News section. Woman who was on TV once has breasts and likes sex.
Big shock. You say first feature in the Nuts News section. It's actually the only feature in the Nuts News section. the magazine kind of continues on like that. They put, again, to encourage you not to read too much of the text, they'll like just summarise basically what the text says in a big quote. My favourite one was, "I'm like, wait, because I'm so small."
Wow, are you now? I thought it was something to do with how many atoms your body was made up of. Serious interview question with her, though. America is obsessed by your breasts. Why is that? And she answers, "Well, they are big." Wow, what an interesting thought. I'll muse on that for days.
Who was that then?
Her name's Courtney Stodden. They're saying she was on Celebrity Big Brother, but that could mean she hosts a local bingo game by this point. They have random quotes from her interview, and there was one that just said, "Saucy shoots allow a woman to embrace her sexuality."
Yeah, I saw that.
Wow. Take that, feminism. It's not gratuitous. It's not gratuitous objectification. She embraces her sexuality by having lecherous men take pictures of her boobs.
And lecherous men and boys the country over look at them. It just generally continues like that, doesn't it? It's
my favourite quote in it, from the Nuts Real Girls. The quote was, "My best feature is my boobs and my lovely big bum." Really? Wow, I wouldn't have guessed. I wonder how many of these women say that their best feature is their eyebrows or their nostril hair.
Or their intellect or empathy or charity work.
Or anything about them.
Yeah. So their slogan is, "When you really need something funny," which is surprising because I don't think anybody kind of thinks of Nuts as anything other than tits. Maybe that's what they're trying to do with their slogan, which they print nowhere in their magazine.
Oh yeah, I had to scour it when you told me.
But yeah, the internet says that's their slogan. When you really need something funny, so when
you could sort of say it's pretty much the Beano but with tits.
I think that's a pretty fair description, actually. Yeah,
they had the Vladimir Putin story.
Yeah,
the caption underneath it was one of them's barking and the other one's a dog.
Cracking.
To counter this, I'm going to take a picture of a lump of dog shit and publish it next to a picture of the editor for Nuts magazine, and the caption to read, one's a lump of shit, and the other is a lump of shit.
They had a kind of abysmal reader-submitted jokes page, which must be kind of their attempt to somehow fulfil their slogan.
Their funny quota. Yeah, we've got to make a little disclaimer. I'm not endorsing humour like this. We're just merely quoting here. Why do French men always miss the toilet when taking a pee? Well, it's hard to be accurate when you've got both your hands in the air. Hmm. We're going to have to get analysts in to decipher that one.
My worst one was, did you see, again, quoting here, people, I had a sweet dream last night. I dreamt I'd been diagnosed with diabetes. Which is just wrong on so many levels, you know.
You do know it's a serious problem, person that wrote that in.
It's not, I mean, it's not much of a pun. Call me a fool, but I don't think diagnosed with diabetes should ever make up a punchline. They should never be the last three or four words of a joke.
Not really. Well, to be fair, this is Nuts magazine, and their general sense of humour can be summed up by a picture that I found in their reader-submitted letters and pictures page. It was a picture of a young man miming bum sex on a model of one of the Transformers at a fair. Wow, how humorous. In other news, penises are the male sex organ that dangles between their legs, you fucking babies.
Yeah. They've had a kind of a serious problem this year, though. Nuts has withdrawn from Co-op. Somebody, a member of the public, complained to Co-op and said, when I bring my young children into the store, we're seeing gratuitous sexualized images on the magazines, and I can't possibly cover their eyes from this. You know, it's right at the front. That counter's normally right at the front of the shop. Following that complaint, Co-op asked all of these kinds of men's magazines to supply copies of the magazines in, and I quote, modesty bags, which is kind of humorous in itself, but to kind of protect young people in the supermarket. Nuts refused to do that and said, no, we're not covering up our magazine, even though loads of the other ones have done loaded, etc. So Nuts is now not available in Co-op. All the publishers of them kind of magazines have since come out and said they're going to change their editorial policy on the cover. I'm going to lean off mic while I get you this, Stu. What do you think of that?
Well, she does have lingerie on.
Which one?
Well, the main one. Yeah, she has lingerie on.
Both
so
of them, actually.
Toned down, I guess.
Yeah, if you haven't seen a copy of Nuts in the last month or two, they still have naked women lying prostate on the bed, led backwards with their arms out.
At the same time, there's not actual nipples on it. I did actually do a nipple count in the whole thing. There's only 12 nipples in a 48-page magazine, which offers us a resounding one nipple every four pages, so within reason?
Maybe. I don't know. It felt like a lot more, though. I was quite surprised when you said that. I did a boob count, which was much more satisfying. Not in that way. It came out at 125. There are 125.
I love how it's an odd number.
Yeah, I was hoping it would come to an odd number, and it did. And that's not including, actually, there's an adverts page, seemingly for prostitutes, I think. Look, one of them phone sex lines. I didn't even count them. There's got to be a good, I don't know, 50-something boobs on that page. Didn't count them. Came out 125, which is just over 1.5 pence per breast. Which, if that's how you buy your reading material, I guess that offers remarkable value. I don't think you'll get them much cheaper. I was actually genuinely embarrassed to read this glorified piece of toilet paper on the tube, though. You wouldn't get porn out on the bus. Is this any more acceptable? I tell you what, it doesn't feel like it. It doesn't feel like it when you're flicking through, for research purposes, of course, And you come to the page with the cover star on, and she's mostly naked on every photo. And then you look around, kind of thinking, oh my God, is anybody actually looking at me? And literally, across on the overground tube, about less than a metre away from me, was a woman with a daughter in school uniform. Oh my God!
Really uncomfortable.
Oh my God! Just slammed the pages shut, threw it into my bag.
Yeah, I wasn't as silly as you to actually read it in public. What I did was went in and bought it with a Tesco's Moussaka, one of those middle class dishes ever. Go to the self service checkout, ram it in my bag, and just run home and not get it out in public.
As you were walking to the checkout, did you try and cover her boobs with the Moussaka?
Yes.
And try the nuts, but her boobs are so big. You'd have to get like a family Moussaka to cover the whole shape.
Note to Tesco staff, I'm not hateful. Don't hate me.
I try and do a bit of research before I did go and buy it. I downloaded the Nuts app. Thought, let's have a little look what they're doing on there. It's quite a young audience. I'm sure they've done a bit of work on their app. No, there's nothing on there. Basically, it's a portal for you to download previous editions of the magazine. And without editing, this isn't cherry-picked for humour or to make a point. The last five titles you can buy on there, which is the only thing you can do on the app, are, number one, The Best of Bedroom Babes. Number two, The Best of Rosie Jones. Number three, 10 Hot Babes, Volume 1. Presumably there's further volumes to come. Number four, The Girls of Nuts, Summer Special. I can't imagine they wear anything other than bikinis at Christmas either, so I don't know why that's a summer special. And number five, Lucy Pender, The Ultimate Collection. So basically it should be called Nuts, The Pocket Wank App.
Given iPhones are generally designed to be portable and taken out on the tubes, it could also be called the Nuts Flasher app.
Okay.
Or the Nuts Public Sex Offender app.
Indeed. Okay, we're going to take a little break there. And after the break, we're going to talk about Men's Health, the world's largest selling men's magazine brand.
Hello and welcome to Read Along with me, Danny Dyer. Coming up this week, we've got The Very Angry Caterpillar That Liked Tits and Had a Six Pack by some bloke that wrote a book. But first, look, it's Miss Foxy Fox.
Hello, Danny.
Isn't she a Foxy Fox?
Today, we're going to learn about the proper usage of semicolons.
That's right, Miss Foxy Fox. I've always wondered what semicolons are for.
Well, semicolon is used to mark a break in a sentence that's harder than a comma, but not as climactic as a full stop. It's used between two main clauses that balance each other and are too closely linked to be made into separate sentences. For example, my tits are hot and sexy. Semicolon. They look so juicy inside my bra.
Or, for example, when I talk about what I like to do after work, I like to watch a bit of the game. Semicolon. Or drink some lager with the boys.
Oh, Danny. No, no, no. That's not correct usage of a semicolon. Those two items were part of the same clause. It looks like Mr. Badger's going to have to pick a fight with you again.
Come on then, mate. Do you want some? Do you fucking want some?
Oh no, I'm off to fight Mr. Badger in the Mystic Forest in the Talking Trees. See you next time, Schlegs.
Alright, that was Danny Dyer there with his new reading and literacy thing, which sounds good. It's going to work alongside the EastEnders thing.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to next week when they read The Cat in the Hat with babes.
That's going to be good. Now, as someone fast approaching 30 and seemingly getting kind of bigger by the day, I am exactly Men's Health target market. Men's Health is the largest men's magazine brand in the world. Now, I'm not... I think gym enthusiasts are going to get this magazine. Right? It's Men's Health. It's got a picture of someone with rippling abs on at the start. So they're going to get it. But their kind of brand mission is to help all men take their health and fitness more seriously. How do they attempt to do this then, Stuart?
Well, as someone who is content to look like a scrawny Afghan hound until the day I die, it has absolutely nothing to say to me, but when reading it, I can tell they're appealing to vanity. People call me smug and full of myself with my flippant opinions, but Men's Health, smuggest publication in the world. It's not about fitness, it's about looking good. Every article mentions that in some tiny, subtle way. I see this actually a lot. Like, it's the same attitude of people on Facebook. You know, men, they get a six-pack and suddenly post pictures of their six-packs with the caption about how they've worked hard for it so they're allowed to show it off. You do know that you don't need a six-pack, right? it's not a requirement.
It's healthy. The definite kind of default pause is that you've got to look good, haven't you? I like the article with Neymar, one of the world's most expensive footballers, talking supposedly about training tips and how to get ready for the big match or your big challenge. Out of five tips, four were about running about and stuff like that, as you'd expect. One was about fifth section. I spend 15 minutes doing my hair. Important tips if you want to be an athlete, guys.
I couldn't believe that, because if you look at my hair, you must look at it and think, wow, that must take quite a long time. No, literally, get out of bed. This is how my hair looks. That's it.
It is pretty preachy, isn't it?
It really is too preachy, especially with... I know that you're a big fan of the diet tips and the cooking.
I thought it did do something quite good. Towards the end, there was a decent article for men about cooking, which, honestly, I've worked as a chef, I like cooking. I can't remember another men's magazine actually doing that without kind of, you know, a Sunday paper will do, men can cook too, and kind of tap you on the top of the head for doing anything other than...
I personally felt that that was what it was doing. I felt it was Men's Health tells you to eat your greens, readers. Next month, why you should hang your trousers up and tidy your room, young man.
So as opposed to nuts, you might expect it to be a bit more or less about sex, really. But according to their website copy, the brand offers sex tips, fashion, sport and health advice in that order. I think there was noticeably less tits than nuts, wasn't there?
Well, yeah, it's just the tits were a different gender.
Yeah, the fitness training pages were almost as embarrassing to read on the tube as nuts. It was pretty... Yeah, there was a lot of nipples there, man.
So many nipples. They did have some sexy stuff in it. They have advice from beautiful women where a supermodel tells you what to say and do if you want to get a date. According to this supermodel, apparently we have to be funny, we have to flatter them, we have to be fit and slim and give them lots of attention. Wow. It's really worrying me that if anyone reading that didn't already know that. Men's Health is for fit ladies, men. Advice on talking to girls, that's for teenagers, right?
Yeah, it was a bit nutsy, that kind of stuff. Another bit of advice I liked from it was to get women, aim for shoulders 1.6 times your waist. How do you do that? How'd you do that? Your shoulders are bones, right?
That stunned me. You would need severe surgery for that.
Yeah. Now, they also offer as a magazine kind of a brand point, which is surprising because all magazines survive on advertising. They refuse to carry adverts for cigarettes, liquor, or health supplements, probably three of the biggest advertisers in the world. Wow, do they advertise, though, don't they?
Sorry, Rick, can I just stop you there? Would you like to buy a watch?
Oh, my God. I never want
or
to see...
Or this watch, or this other watch here.
I never want to see another watch advert in my whole life. There was more... There's adverts for watchmakers you've never even heard of.
Yeah, and so many... I had to search for the contents page. You flick to any page, 9 times out of 10, it will have an advert for fitness equipment, watches, aftershaves, or clothes.
Yeah, there's the opening 14 pages are adverts, and the front cover is a fold-out advert.
Nothing
as well.
But adverts. I couldn't believe that. The magazine is about 180 pages long. It's almost the size of a local phone directory, but there's only about 5 articles in it that aren't to do with products you can buy. Surely after one advert for a watch, if we're taking I'm a stupid person who obey all adverts that I see. Right, fine. First advert for a watch. Right. Gone online, bought your watch now. Right, what next? This other watch. I've already got a watch now. Why would I want another watch from a different watch company?
And they're all about $5,000 as well.
Yeah.
Nuts was pretty bad for that, though. It's worth mentioning. They had shameless advertorials with absolutely no kind of postmarking. Only, I think, somebody who's done media or is of a certain age where you get a bit used to these things would have gone, well, that's clearly a paid-for page.
We're talking about the Mercedes-Benz advert, aren't we?
The Mercedes-Benz advert, which
is just an article describing the features of the new Mercedes-Benz. It does look nice, though. I kind of want one.
Yeah, five glorious pictures. It looks beautiful, but yeah. Frankly, I cannot believe that anybody driving that Mercedes is ever going to have a copy of nuts in the
In
the glove compartment. There was a shameless advertorial for FIFA 14, which featured the only man on the front cover as well, which was just 14 things about the new FIFA 14.
Reasons you should buy it.
And another competition just clearly run by a fashion label that I've never heard of, by the way. Blue Ink, ladies and gentlemen, who knew? So, Stuart, to summarise then, we've had a look at Nuts Health. Nuts Health, that could be a new brand.
Nuts Health, a combination of the two, yeah.
We've had a look at Nuts and we've had a look at Men's Health. Which one best represented you? And if you had to subscribe to one for the rest of your life and read it, which one would you pick?
Well, overall, my general impression is that Nuts is for lecherous scumbags, while Men's Health is for frantic egotists who don't mind being advertised to every five bloody seconds. Neither really represented me, because, as is obvious, my magazine of choice would be a bright grey publication listing humanity's faults. I would have to go with Nuts, though, because I'd feel more satisfaction really? When I set it on fire afterwards for being dicks. Men's Health is recycled garbage full of adverts that has no right to exist and has nothing that's never been said before in the actual articles. I can't believe people pay £4 for this every month. Nuts, however, provoked a reaction.
Well, yeah, but a wildly negative reaction isn't always...
Well, yeah, but that gets me writing.
Fair enough. I actually prefer Men's Health. I think kind of age group-wise, I felt a bit more suited. I'm 30 next month. There was the occasional article I kind of enjoyed. My problem with it is it becomes a bit wearing. It's like, yes, work out more. Yes, stop eating shit. Yes, spank your girlfriend. I get it, but it's like continuously rammed home to you over 180 pages or however many. What are they going to do next month? What are they going to say? It's kind of like I'm...
Still have a diet.
Yeah, stop eating. Please stop eating shit. We beg you. Spank your girlfriend nicely. It's more of a manual for kind of man life. I think your GP should issue it when you're 18 and then you don't have to read Nuts, frankly.
Well, in the spirit of Men's Health, we might as well, since we're both slaves to our wallets, might as well let you hear from our new non-existent sponsor, Sporters Aid.
You climb mountains. You run marathons. You have a gym membership. You're an athlete. You're a powerhouse. You're superhuman. But even supermen need a drink. For you, water just ain't enough. Sporters Aid. Because we know your sporting achievements are 1,000% perspiration, 9,000% rehydration, 12,000% exaggeration. You lift. You push yourself. You share your runs on Facebook. You drink. Sporters Aid.
And this week again, we're going to delve deep into the cinema, the theatre. This is Blunt Movie Guide. No one can be bothered to watch every movie in the cinema at the moment, so we basically look at their plots and retell it like it is. No dramatic music, no deep voiceovers. This is what's out in cinemas without the style.
So we don't have to go and see them if we don't want to.
No, don't go and see these films because we're going to do it for you. So yeah, gritty crime drama... gritty crime drama, Runner Runner. Justin Timberlake is still convinced that he's an actor and plays a college student who has a run-in with a mob over gambling debts. Mm. And people talk very seriously to each other in a series of rooms and then it ends. Massive film out at the moment, apparently.
Or alternatively, you could just go and watch the trailer for that one. It seems to give you the entire plot with footage in under a minute and takes you through the whole thing. Have you noticed trailers are starting to do that more and more?
Oh, yeah. Have you seen the trailer for About Time, that stupid Richard Curtis comedy thing? One shot from every scene in the movie in 2 minutes, done. I don't need to see it anymore.
I wonder, because this obviously seems to be the new way they're doing it. I know Simon Pegg and Nick Frost were complaining about The World's End, because their idea for that film was that the alien robot element to it was the big reveal. But the studio said, no, we're going to put that in the trailer and you've got to sell this as an alien stroke robot movie. And they kind of felt that the whole point of the film was destroyed by that.
Well, the whole point of the film was that it was a sad, boring revisitation of past glories, which it was.
Okay, then. Anyway, that's not in this week's Blunt Movie Guide.
So, yeah, Blue Jasmine, Woody Allen's new middle-class people witter on about themselves and make jokes occasionally movie. First, he hasn't done loads of those already.
First world problem alert, yeah.
Yeah.
There are going to be lots of them.
4-star reviews in every magazine. Girl, most likely, Bridget Jones, but in America and with more crying. Four stars.
Brilliant, you've managed to do that in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 words. There you go, save yourself 2.5 hours. Bridget Jones, but in America, with more cycling. With more crying. Cycling.
Cycling. Yeah, Prisoners. It's a new gritty, crimey drama thing.
Another gritty crime drama.
Yeah. Just to ruin it for anyone that's actually going to watch it and take it seriously, I am going to read the press release in a slutty Playboy model voice.
Mm. Go on then.
Kelly Dover is facing every parent's worst nightmare. His 6-year-old daughter, Anna, is missing as the police pursue multiple leads and pressure mounts, knowing his child's life is at stake. Frantic Dover decides he has no chance but to take matters into his own hands. Now when you go see it, imagine everyone in the movie has that voice. It will make it much more entertaining.
Frankly, I'm a little turned on.
Yeah. Austin Land, which is the weirdest idea for anything I've ever heard.
Weirder than some of your ideas.
Weirder than some of my ideas. An American woman obsessed with the BBC production of Pride and Prejudice journeys to a Jane Austen theme park in search of her own Mr. Darcy.
What?
No,
really?
Seriously, go watch this trailer.
That's okay. What it's about?
Yes, that is what it's about. That is what the film Austin Land is about. And yes, I agree. This woman comes across as psychotic, insane, and the people that made this theme park even more so. Take out Jane Austen, and it could easily be a remake of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. But I highly recommend you see it so you can go, wow, someone did that.
It kind of is. I'm kind of interested in that. That's weirder than musical chairs with Caning and Iron Maidens.
It definitely is. Right. I highly recommend that one.
So that's this week's Blunt Movie Guide. If you didn't want to see any of them films, you really don't have to now. Okay, order, order, order. This is Reality Check. Every week, we're going to investigate a different topic and argue the case for and against. Up for discussion this week in the House of Lords is, are private investigators a force for good or for evil? This week, I'm going to kick us off by presenting the case for private investigators and saying that they are for good. Notes from last week, though. When you talk about private investigators, you're actually talking about the freedom of the press. When you talk about the freedom of the press, you're actually talking about the freedom of the people. Us, the underclasses, the working men, the oiks, as I imagine the upper classes call us. You don't need any special card or qualification to be a journalist, and you don't need one to be a private investigator either. Instead, you just need an inquiring mind and a willingness to challenge the modus operandi. To clamp down on private investigators is to challenge our freedom to ask questions about anyone we wish. What is an investigative journalist if not a private investigator by any other name? They use the exact same rights afforded to all of us to hold people to account. There are laws about tracking people, there are laws about harassing people, there's laws about tapping up phones, accessing medical records and all of that which govern us all. PIs are just as subject to them as we are, and they should operate in them within them accordingly. Further legislation is not the answer. The work of PIs has exposed corruption at the heart of government, lies from corporations, and the cover-ups of murderers. They've also exposed people cheating the benefit system, cheating on the partners, and cheating at the sports too. The old adage, if you've nothing to hide, you've nothing to worry about, fits perfectly here. All right then, so presenting the case as PIs being a force for evil is Lord of the Dance, Mr. Stuart Hardy.
Sorry, clearing the throat there. Yeah, taking your hints.
Helps.
Whether people happen to be celebrities or not, everyone surely has a right to not have their orifices examined by the vicarious public, in principle. But the point is, should we care? Because is it right for me to give a shit if Kate Moss has cellulite? And as are private investigators making people dumber by enforcing that we should care on what they drudge up on celebrities for new tabloids because because that's what they're doing. They're making us care about stuff that we shouldn't care about. I'm going to use the obvious argument here. During bullshit headlines, we mostly highlight stories that either don't make sense or are generally unimportant, that are drudged up by private investigators, what we would generally call non-newsworthy. This basically proves my point against private investigators. We don't respect what they gather for us, yet people pay attention. If they weren't gathering information on Kate Moss's cellulite, its metric dimensions, atomic weight, etc., maybe society would be more educated in general. Granted, that leaves us with nothing to talk about, so I'm basically arguing that we are celebrity popularity leeches, which is a dangerous territory for a new show to call itself out as an attention-seeking, scum-sucking leech. But I mean, generally, PIs exist for their own ends, to make society dumber. Pay attention to me. Don't go and read something else or watch an intelligent movie. No, I was rummaging around David Beckham's emails and found out that he likes to pick his nose with a toothbrush. Whoop-de-fucking-do. Society has peaked. I am now one piece of useless knowledge more educated. I mean, yes, the horrible privacy invasion argument is the obvious one here for me to bring up. The relationships it's destroyed, the parents of missing children, having vomit-covered journalists rooting through their bins. The phone hacking scandal, the idea of Big Brother, that anyone could be spying on you and kind of makes me right by default, and being a goody two-shoes in this argument, but do you really want the parents of missing children to have paparazzi stood outside their house all day and their excrement to be examined by Gillian McKeith on television? Do you, Rick? Do you?
Yeah, yeah. If it means that I can do whatever the hell else I want.
Granted, in the case of someone's maybe doing something illegal, it's okay for the police to hire private investigators for their purposes, but I think we can say there are a bunch of assholes encouraging us to stare at stars' navels and don't deserve our respect.
Right, well, then we better put this to the House and see what the decision is. All those in favour that private investigators are a force for good. And all those against? No, seems like it's inconclusive this week, Stu. A
little bit, yeah.
Never mind. We'll have to sort that out. See what comes of it next week. I believe we've had a complaint.
Yes, we have. Sorry to end on this. We've had a complaint from ITV's planning department. They sent it by text, actually, because they still think texting is a thing people do nowadays.
It's only £1.50 to text us as well, isn't it? So
true, yes.
Slightly cheaper than ITV's text.
They've actually done it quite in detail. Dear Stuart Hardy, we would like to counter your implication from earlier in the show that ITV program planners do not use blank sterile television format templates and insert keywords to fill our demographics. Instead, we use fuzzy felt and glue. In fact, my last diorama of our new afternoon reality talk show aimed at unemployed young people between 18 and 35, wittering on in rooms about drugs or something, won the East Anglia Patronizer Television Executive for 2013 award. Just thought you were being a bit cynical. We're much cleverer than that. XOX, love you, BBZ, ITV Planning Department.
I'd hate to be called cynical. I think that's unfair.
fuzzy felt and glue? I thought ITV programme planning was all about Duplo bricks and Meccano. What losers.
Yeah, really showing themselves up there. So that's pretty much us from WTF Just Happened. Next week, what we got coming up?
Next week, we will be watching The One Show.
We're going to be reading Grazia and The Lady. The Lady's actually a magazine, apparently. I've never even seen it on a newsstand yet, so that's going to be one.
On Zeitgeist, they're working on a list show that you've never heard one like this before, the Top 100 Numbers.
And finally, in the Blunt Movie Guide, I can't wait. I can't remember. There's been some great films out, even in the last year, that I've been very excited about. None more so than the new Metallica film.
As a fan, I'm very sad to see that film come out.
If you haven't seen the trailer, listeners, go and see the trailer. It's I'm on the edge of my seat. I'm definitely going to the cinema on opening night to see that. So we'll be back next week. This has been What the Fuck Just Happened.
Download from iTunes or listen on demand from zone1radio.com.